Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
I would say Tangle is a good investment. What do you think? Amen. We're so proud of him. And I was thinking last year in January, we commissioned Pastor Andrew into Itinerant. And he's doing great. In fact, he's speaking today at the Fresh Awakening and just for the New Year's. But God is doing great things, raising up anointed sons and daughters, and we're so proud of them. Well, this year, you know, I was excited because at the beginning of the year, I always seek the Lord in these moments because I just feel like there's just a special time when God is speaking, and he speaks a word for the next coming year if you will listen and if you'll hear. In fact, you know, I believe God wants to give you 2020 vision. 2020 vision is considered perfect vision. I mean, you can have better than perfect, but 2020 is perfect. And you know, I looked at 2 Chronicles 20:20, and it says this: believe the Lord your God, and you shall be established, and believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. You know, at the beginning of the new year, there's prophetic words that God is speaking. And if you have an ear to hear, God is going to give you some nuggets, some truths, some things to believe for in this coming year. And as I was really praying about it and seeking God, I felt the Lord say that the year of 2018, I heard two words and some other points I'm going to bring out today. It's a year of acceleration and it's a year of breakthrough. And I'm excited about that. Now, last year, I remember hearing breakthrough, you know, but what is going to change in this year? And what is God going to accomplish through you this year? And will you meet those God-given goals? And are you reaching your target? I want you to think about that. But in a breakthrough year, God is giving you an opportunity to have breakthrough. I remember last year at this time, I shared on my heart that, you know, I feel like it's an Isaiah 60 moment. It's an Isaiah 60 year where it says, arise and shine, the glory of the Lord has risen on you. And the verses go on to say that kings will come to the rising. And then it talks about double honor and things like that. And I'm telling you, I spoke that word, but I believe that word. And I saw that word come to pass in so many ways. We literally met kings in other nations. It talked about double honor. Last year, we received double honor. Daniel and I, we just were blessed being commissioned as apostle and commissioned with Global Awakening. God was just giving us double honor, and it came from the hand of the Lord. But I believe God wants to give you breakthrough as well. And maybe last year you said, you know, I don't really feel like I entered into all that God had for me breakthrough-wise. Well, I'm going to say this year is your time. This year is your time. Now, I believe that we have entered a season, and it's a breakthrough season. It's a Kairos season, and I'm excited to share about that. Now, you know, everybody at the time of the end of the new year, they're evaluating their years. They're thinking about, what am I going to do different? You know, you're looking at the calendar. You're cognizant of time. But in the Bible, there's two words. There's two Greek words for time. The first word is chronos, and let's take a picture and look at the picture of chronos, what he looks at. The Greeks had a statue for Chronos. There you go. Okay, old father time. What's he look like? You see, scary. A little bit. He almost looks like the Grim Reaper. You know, he looks old father time. Look at his beard. And then he's got the time is tipped upside down, and he's got the reaper. Well, you know, in a way, what it's saying, in a way, it's measuring time, but it's like old father time. Look, dead and dying. You know, time is winding down. So it's not super positive. Chronos. But let's look at the other Greek word for time, and it's kairos. Let's look at kairos. What does kairos look like? Wow, look at that. Now, let me tell you about kairos. Kairos is as a warrior. Do you see that? A winged warrior. That means they're swift. And then I like it. He usually carries either a sword or he's an archer. But also, what else does he have in his hands? Scales. Scales of justice. Do you see there's something about Kairos moments where God is going to tip the scales of justice in your favor? You know, he's also alert and he's agile. And that's what Kairos moments are in your life. They're these divine opportunities. Now, I love this, what Kairos means. a divine moment, divine destiny, a convergence. And this is beautiful. Listen to this. A kairos moment is when divine favor meets divine opportunity. But the thing about kairos moments is you have to look for them. You have to be aware and agile like kairos himself and look for these God-ordained opportunities. You know, there's a season, it's called a season of convergence. And I love this, when anointing, gifting, talents, and experience all come together in that kairos opportunity. And I was thinking about, I even shared this morning that Craig Garcia, he owns California Coffee Company, but this coming year, he has decided to run for city council. All his experience, all that's coming together, his anointing, he wants to make a difference in the marketplace, in the mountain of government, and he's going to do a fabulous job, and we're excited about that. But for many of you, it's your kairos moment when God brings all those things together in the fullness of time. Now, that's when Jesus came, literally, in the fullness of time. It says in the Bible, in fullness of time, that word is kairos. So at the perfect divine opportunity, Jesus came. You have to look for these opportunities, though. In 1 Chronicles 12:32, it says this, that the sons of Issachar understood the times, the kairos, and the seasons. And that they had understanding of the times of what Israel ought to do. And I'm just saying for you personally, God wants to give you that type of discernment this year. He wants you to get a prophetic edge and the discernment of the season so that you don't miss your kairos moments when they come. Amen? Now, as we talk about a kairos season, and I want you to get your hopes up. I really do. I want you to believe. I want you to believe because you know what? You can say it's breakthrough year, but if you don't receive it, you won't have it. You really won't, because the Bible says you have to believe and receive, right? And so I'm saying it could be breakthrough for somebody else, but not for you if you don't receive it. So I'm saying position your heart for this season. And then the other thing is, in a kairos season, it's marked by these things. Number one, acceleration. Things accelerate, like they happen faster. In fact, it says in the last days, travel and knowledge will increase. Wow, with the internet, we have seen just exponential increase, right? And things happening so quickly. But Matthew 3:17 says this, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." It's a season of suddenlies. And then look at this, Matthew 17:5. While he was speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." You see, suddenly the voice came. And then here in Acts 2:2, when the church was birthed on the day of Pentecost, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. They didn't know what to expect in this kairos moment. It came suddenly, but it changed them forever. And look at Acts 9:3, another suddenly moment. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. That was the Apostle Paul. At that point, he was Saul the persecutor. But in a moment of time, in a suddenly moment, God changed him, completely changed him from Paul the persecutor to Paul the apostle. You know what? In a season of suddenlies, in the kairos moments, God will give you affirmation. He will give you assignments. He will anoint you. You will see miracles and deliverances come suddenly. And even salvations. Look at Paul. Now that was unexpected. Do you have any family members that it would be unexpected? That maybe they're your greatest persecutors and maybe tomorrow they'll be your greatest cheerleader? Because God can change their heart in an instant. Look for it in the season of acceleration. Believe for it. Habakkuk 2:3 says this, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time. It hastens toward the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries," wait for it, "for it certainly will come, and it will not delay." It will not delay in the kairos season. Some of you have, unfortunately, you have hope deferred because your hope has been delayed and delayed, and now you don't even get your hopes up anymore. But in the Kairos moment, in the Kairos season, it will not delay. Have your expectation high. The next thing that happens in 2018 is a time of promotion and exaltation. Wow, a time of promotion and exaltation. And let me tell you what the key is. The key to this is humility. God exalts the humble, right? He exalts the humble. So take on the role of a servant. Jesus was servant in all, and God put him in a position of highly exalted, right? Look at this in Psalm 75, verses 6 through 7. This is in the Passion Translation. I have some of the verses coming from there, and I love them. They're amazing. This I know, that favor that brings promotion and power doesn't come from anywhere on earth. For no one exalts a person but God, the true judge of all. He alone determines where favor rests. He anoints one for greatness and brings another down to his knees. Now, you know what? If you humble yourself, God will exalt you. And a great way to even humble yourself is through prayer and fasting. It's amazing what happens on the other side of a fast. But God is the exalter. Now, in 2017, maybe circumstances have caused you to drop your head, lose your joy, lose hope, succumb to depression, disillusionment, despair, despondency, or feel downtrodden. What is downtrodden? It's like you walked on, right? That could have happened. But I'm sharing this morning, and I'm asking you to really grab this. Isaiah 60, verse 1, it says, "Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to new life. Shine and be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen on you." Wow. God's saying, rise up. Rise up from that depression and prostration. What does that mean? Prostration means burnout, collapse, exhaustion, fatigue, tiredness, and weariness. God is speaking to you. Rise up from that. Don't stay there. If you're down there, rise up. In 1 Samuel 2:8, it says this, "He raises the poor from the dust, lifts the baker from the ash heap to set them among princes and to inherit the throne of glory." How beautiful. That's what God does. God is a rewarder. God is the lifter of your head. He wants you to raise your head up, not be looking down, right? In the Passion Translation, Psalm 42, verse 5, it says this, "So then, my soul, why would you be despaired and depressed? Why would you sink into despair? Just keep hoping and waiting on God, your Savior. For no matter what, I will sing with praise, for living before his face is my saving grace." You have to speak to yourself sometime. You have to speak to yourself. Soul, why are you downcast? Rise up, hope in God. Not hope in hope, hope in the Lord, in his saving grace. God wants you to turn your hope up. And, you know, I heard a couple people and, you know, had gone through a layoff, and it was really sad. But I just want to encourage you, get your hope up. That has happened to me twice in my teaching career. I was laid off from the public school. And I remember one time when I was laid off, I was really bummed. And I thought, you know, this is an opportunity. I'm either going to be depressed or I'm going to have a good attitude about it and actually believe God can work in this circumstance. And so, you know what? I chose to rejoice and to believe the Lord. And you know what? God did a miracle. He actually opened up a door in a Christian school where my three sons could attend for free. And I taught, and it actually was an upgrade. It actually was a pay raise. What looked like it would be worse was better. And we all rode together, and I remember I was actually able to teach my own sons, and that was pretty awesome. God wants to turn your hope up. Last service, I said that in Chinese, the character for crisis means opportunity. And there was a young Chinese girl, and she said, I said, "Did I say that right?" She said, "Yes, it does." That's exactly what that means. So when you're in a crisis, you actually have an opportunity. It's a Kairos moment, how you take it, right? So turn your hope up. Zechariah 9:12 says, "Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today, I declare, I will restore double to you." You know, this is a stronghold you can have, right? A stronghold of hope. In fact, you should chain yourself to hope and not let him go. You hang on to hope. God promises to restore double to you. Hebrews 10:23 says this, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Do you know why you can have hope? Because God is faithful, right? You're placing your hope in a faithful God. And his name means faithful and true, and he doesn't lie. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. You can put your faith and hope in God because he's faithful. Now, in Hebrews 11:1, it says this, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." If you want to see faith and the promises, all the good things, God is a rewarder of faith, then you need to have hope. Because that's what it rests on, your hope, right? 1 Peter 1:13 says this, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind." That's interesting. "Be sober and rest your hope fully on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." God says be sober, not somber. There's a big difference. Sober means clear-headed and not drunk. Good word on New Year's Eve, okay? And he wants you to be not somber, which is sad and serious. He wants you to turn up the hope, turn up the joy, right? That's what he wants to see in your life. Intercession is another thing we're going to see in this year, turned up to another level. And I strongly encourage you to read Isaiah 62. I believe it's Isaiah 62 year. I felt that so strongly last year, Isaiah 60, and I saw it. This year, I'm feeling strongly Isaiah 62. And here's one of the things it says in 6 and 7. It says this, "I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You shall make mention of the Lord. Do not keep silent. And give him no rest till he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth." Wow, Jerusalem's in the news a lot. As intercessors, we need to pray. God wants to make it a praise in all the earth, right? But also, he is raising up watchmen of intercession. Watchmen, watchwomen, raising up intercessors. Because the prayers of the saints, as your prayers go up, God hears every single prayer you pray. And they're stored in heaven in bowls. But there comes a point when God tips the bowls. The bowls are tipped, and he pours out answered prayer. And I'm just saying, your prayers are not in vain in the Lord. There is a kairos moment where he's waiting to bring the answer to your prayers. And you know, in that, this is a total side note, but in that Isaiah 62, it talks about a time where a young woman is married and becomes a bride. And I believe for some of you, this is your kairos moment to be a bride. I think God has marriage in store for you. Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord. See who's shouting the loudest. Okay. You know what? Before I became a bride, the Lord gave me a prophetic word and said, "Now all those passwords are over. It's a season of fulfillment. It's your time." And I said, yes. And I received that in April. Didn't even hear about Daniel till August, but by December I met him, and God had my man. I'm saying God can work quick in the season of fulfillment. And I'll just might as well put this in here now. And I was waiting patiently, not really, but as patient as I could be. But in my waiting, I started writing down what I wanted, okay? I thought, you know, God gives you desires of your heart. But the longer I waited, the longer my list got. So by the time I was done, I had 20 things. Well, praise God, he was all 20 and more. You see, God gives you the desire of your heart. He answers our prayers. And when it's your kairos season, nothing's going to stop it. Amen? Amen. Breakthrough. Let's talk about breakthrough. Oh, I love this verse right here. Psalm 79, verse 9. our hero, come and rescue us. O God of the breakthrough, for your glory of your name, come and help us, forgive us, restore us, heal us, and cover us in your love. God of the breakthrough. That's his name. I love that. Okay, Psalm 130, verse 5 says this. This is why I wait upon you, expecting your breakthrough, for your word brings me hope. Amen. You need to stir up your hope by being in the word. The word will bring you hope. Psalm 145, verse 7. Our hearts bubble over as we celebrate the fame of your marvelous beauty. Wow. Bringing bliss to our hearts, we shout with ecstatic joy over your breakthrough through us. How do you like that? Not only is it God going to give a breakthrough to you, but it's going to be through you, huh? I love that. Oh, and this is my favorite, actually, verse of the whole sermon. This one lit me up like anything. And I shared it with Daniel, and I said, this has to be a word for this year. Too good, okay? You ready? Oh, so good. Okay, get on with it, okay? All the expectation. Proverbs 21:22 in the Passion Translation. Listen to this. A warrior filled with wisdom ascends into the high places and releases regional breakthrough. Come on. Bringing down the strongholds of the mighty. Is that good or what? Come on. Whew. I'm telling you. You know what? Warriors can be women. How many of you watch Wonder Woman? Come on. That girl was bad to the bone. Come on. Warriors can be princesses too. So I'm telling you, as a warrior, that you're filled with wisdom and you ascend to the high place, seated in the heavenlies, and from that point, you release regional breakthrough, bringing down the strongholds of the mighty. Are you going to displace principalities, territorial spirits, and strongholds over the region and see regional breakthrough? That's what we're believing for. Even as Brian was shared about the waves, God's going to hit this region with breakthrough, with revival. It's going to affect. It's going to be powerful. And let's believe for it that we're the warriors that bring it, right? Amen. Thank you. I'm trying, Brian. I'm trying. Okay. 2 Samuel 5:20 says this. This is when David defeated his enemies. He said, the Lord has broken through my enemies like a breakthrough of water. There you go. And he called the name of the place Baal Perazim. Now, what does that mean literally? Because, you know, that's not our language. But what does it literally mean? Master of the breakthrough. That is God's title. He is the master of the breakthrough. So maybe you haven't got victory in an area of your life for a really long time and you feel stuck. But let me tell you, God is the master of your breakthrough. I'm telling you, he's not stuck at all. And in a moment, he can set you free. In a moment, he can change things. In a moment, he can turn it all around. I remember last year, I was struggling with my thyroid. And I was really praying and seeking the Lord in January. God, please help me. I need some answers. I'm stuck. And you know, the Lord brought me breakthrough. He brought me help in that area. And when you cry out to the Lord as the Lord of the breakthrough, I'm telling you, he will release answers in your life. I'm telling you. Now, what is the key and how do you bring that acceleration? How do you bring that breakthrough in your life? I'm going to give you four quick keys. Get ready. Number one, treasure the word of God. Treasure the word of God in your heart. Treasure it. That's what Job said in Job 23:12. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Do you know how you do prayer and fasting? Because you know what? Your flesh hates it, but your spirit loves it. You treasure his word more than your necessary food. Because Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You feed your spirit man with the word of God. So I challenge you this year. I want to see this year you commit. Now, it's got to be your commitment. I can't make it for you, but I'm going to hope you really rise up and make this commitment. I challenge you to read the Bible through cover to cover. this year, set it as one of your spiritual goals, because you feed your spirit, and there's something happen when you read the Word of God. It's like vitamins to your spirit. It just is so good. So read the Word. Commit to it this year. Letter B, treasure the prophetic promises. You have prophetic words. Many of you have many prophetic words. Some of you have journals and journals full of prophetic words. Well, what are you doing with them? Are they sitting there collecting dust? You have a responsibility here. Luke 2:19 says this, but Mary treasured these things in her heart and pondered often what they meant. She kept it before her. And letter C says, steward prophetic words and prophecies. Those prophecies are not just, oh, that sounded nice. Oh, thanks. That was great. That encouraged me. Great. I hope it did. But you got to do something more with it for to see the fulfillment of it, right? What you have to do in 1 Timothy, it instructs us what to do with it. It says, this I charge you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. You take the prophetic words over your life, the promises of God, and declare them. You speak them. You speak the promises. You speak decrees based on the words that have been spoken over you. You have something to do with this. You see, as Daniel has preached before, it's the two-edged sword from the mouth of the Lord, then through your mouth. And God is going to answer, because our words create worlds. God created with words. He created the entire world with words. Your words are creative force. So take especially the prophetic words that you already know God wants to do with your life and start speaking them in the atmosphere. Start believing them. Next, record the vision. You got to write it down. You got to get specific. I already shared the 20 things. But there's other things in my life that I journal. I write things down. I envision what I want to see. I dream with God, and I write it down, because Habakkuk says, the Lord says, record the vision and scribe it on tablets that the one may run who reads it. You need to keep it before your eyes, you know, and not just in January. February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. If you do, you're going to see a different year. You're going to have more impact this year than any of the years combined. Wow, is that possible? Yes, it is possible. It is possible. I think you do go from glory to glory. Be specific. Write it down. Last, here's a huge key, prayer and fasting. In Isaiah 58, the entire chapter is about fasting. What is a fast that is acceptable to the Lord? And it goes on to say different things. Please read it, because I don't have time this morning. But let me tell you some of the results of prayer and fasting in your life. It says, and one of the things it does say about it, it says, don't judge others. Don't be judgmental. Don't be oppressive to people. Turn away from that. Help people in need. It talks about that. But then it says, then your light will rise in darkness, and your gloom will become like midday, and the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your soul in scorched and dry places and give strength to your bone. And you will be like a water garden whose springs of waters do not fail. And it talks about all the restoration that happens at the end of an acceptable fast to the Lord, honoring the Lord, honoring his Sabbath. Just watch. It says, I will make you to ride on the high places of the earth. God wants to bless you abundantly. He does. And sometimes it's at the end of a fast. You know, we're doing a corporate fast, 21 days. I encourage you to be a part of it. You don't have to go the full 21 days. Do what the Lord instructs you, but do something. We had a young couple that lived with us for a season. And every January, Daniel and I, we set aside, we do fasting and prayer. And I'm telling you, without fail, we've seen breakthrough every time, every time. So I'm pretty convinced in fasting. It doesn't take much for me to want to fast, because I see the results, and it's tangible. So, but this young couple had never done it. The person was pretty athletic and didn't really like going without food. I understand that. It's hard. It's a sacrifice, right? But he started doing that, and they started doing that, and then they started praying. And God was so faithful, he immediately brought them breakthrough, contracts, different things happened. And it was very, very tangible. It was very obvious. So much so, after that, it became their habit. Every January, they would say, you know, I'm going to fast for the new year because I know it works. And, you know, it's not just about getting. It's about what does God want to do with you? And do you have an ear to hear? And is your spirit sensitive to his voice? You know, sometimes we have bondages in our life. And Mark 9:29 says this, this kind cannot come out but by prayer and fasting. Some deliverances from addiction, strongholds, or demonic bondages come a result of being delivered by fasting and prayer. So do it. It's powerful. It's a powerful tool. Acts 10:30, Cornelius was fasting and praying, and all of a sudden, a man in a bright light came in and stood before him. Guess what? He had an angelic encounter. And as a result of that angelic encounter, his whole family got saved. Household salvation came. What could be on the end of your prayer and fasting? Is a family member that is least likely to be saved, get saved? Oh, I've had some least likely in my family. I've had some characters. But you know what? God brought them into the kingdom. The ones that would seem impossible is not impossible with God, right? So I encourage you, this year is your year of breakthrough. Believe for it. If you believe, you will receive. Because it's a Kairos season. And I just wanted to give a recap quick. Summary is, number one, it is a year of acceleration. Season of suddenlies. Number two, promotion and exaltation. It's a season of that. Believe for that. Humble yourself. Let him exalt you. Number three, intercession. By the way, I think I said it. One way to humble yourself is through prayer and fasting. I can't believe in the Bible. Sometimes people, even wicked kings, you know, Manasseh, who was a wicked king, the Lord was going to judge him. And all of a sudden, he prayed and fasted and humbled himself, and God showed him mercy. It's amazing. Like, it didn't matter that he lived some 49 years wicked. God spared him because he humbled his heart. It's amazing. Intercession, I encourage you, be a watchman on the wall. Be an intercessor. Be one of those warriors that helps to bring regional revival and breakthrough. Some of your keys for breakthrough is, number one, A, treasure the word of God. Treasure it. Read it. Letter B, value the prophetic promise given to you. Dust off those journals. Start speaking the word. Letter C, steward the prophetic promises and prophecies over your life. God expects you to do something with them. He expects you to agree with them, to speak them, right? Letter D, engage in prayer and fasting. And as I said, we had a clipboard going around. We have some guides in the foyer to help you, to encourage you. And I hope I did encourage you, because I just want to encourage you in something that I know is a key. It's a key and it works. Would you stand with me today? I'm just going to pray over you today. Can you just be in a receiving mode? Thank you for being so patient. Went over a little time, but you know what? It's a new year, and you're going to go into this new year changed. Changed. You're going to receive some breakthroughs you haven't had in 20 years. Some of you, it's going to be amazing. I'm telling you, believe for it. So let me pray right now. Receive. Just put your hands out and say, I receive, God. Thank you, Father God, that you are the master of the breakthrough. I just pray this morning that you break off hope deferred in Jesus' name. I come against that spirit of delay in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father God, that you're going to give them the desires of their heart, that they're going to see breakthrough in their lives, in their finances, in their family, in their job situation. God, even in finding a mate or a spouse that you would have for them. Thank you, Father God, for this season, this Kairos season of breakthrough. I just ask your blessing, your covering over them. I pray that you would show them the Kairos moments. And when they step into them, thank you for a specific Rhema word for them for this year, God, that they can hang on. Hang on, God, and see the hand of the Lord. Thank you, Father. You are the master of the breakthrough. And we look to you. We put our hope. We raise our hope to you, Father. We thank you for your saving grace and your blessing in our lives in 2018. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Powerful word.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.